Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers. Let me add my word of welcome to Conyers First United Methodist Church. I am so honored you're here. Sam, thank you for telling us that we can sing out loud because our voices don't matter.
Amen.
But your voices do, and we praise God for the way these wonderful servants focus on Him. Can we just say thank you, God? Thank you, God, for humble servants who just want to give praise to the risen Lord. We're all about making connections in this great church. And if you're new in our presence, I just have to tell you, we're living a period of grief right now in the life of our church. Some significant leaders have been promoted from the church militant to the church triumphant. And we need each other now more than ever before. In your worship folder is a white connection card, and it would mean a lot to me if you would take just a moment to complete the connection card on the front side, especially if you're a guest. We just want to know that you're present. Nobody's going to show up on your doorstep this afternoon and knock on your door, but we want you to know you matter to us. We'd like to know you by name, and we'd like to see how we could make a connection of faith together. Inside your worship folder is an announcement of a new and emerging small group ministry in the life of our church that we're calling Crew, the image of the beautiful river and the long boat, and every member of the team with his or her hands firmly on the oars, together, pulling together, serving together, encouraging each other together, and moving on the journey of life. In this day and time when we live such disconnected lives from each other, our families, those around us, we need each other. And I'd like to invite you to consider to be a part of a crew team. We have men's crews and women's crews, day crews, night crews, co-ed crews. On September 28th, there's a starting point meeting to learn more about the crew ministry. Robin Payne is here. She's our director of spiritual formation. But I would really, really like to encourage you to consider being a part of this brand new ministry. It's time for everybody to start at the very same place. Fill out the form, drop it in the offering basket this morning, or return it to Robin Payne, and come be a part of this emerging new ministry. I think God's going to do great things through this ministry. Other announcements in the worship folder, which I invite you to look to. As I mentioned, our church is living into the grief of the Reverend Dan Brokaw, passing away after 34 and a half years as our minister of music. But this week, we've lost another great leader. Bernie Ward passed away, has been promoted to the Father's house. His memorial service will be at 11 o'clock on Tuesday morning in our sanctuary. At the same time, Mark Elliott, who has agreed to be our interim minister of music and to continue moving our music ministry, our traditional music ministry forward, his dad died late last night, but he is here this morning leading the chancel choir. I am so grateful for the faithfulness of so many servants in the life of this great church. All of us bring a bit of grief to this service this morning. All of us know what it's like to live in the darkness of fear or doubt. My prayer today is that we will be so overwhelmed by the awareness of God that we will allow Him to challenge our thinking, that we will invite the Spirit of God to take control of our minds, that today will be the first day of the rest of our lives living victoriously and with hope, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit. Would you join me as we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we simply want to be aware of Your mighty, awesome, and overwhelming presence in this place today. We know what it is like to feel disconnected and discouraged. Some of us have entered into a time of depression even. And God, we know the loneliness of living in the darkness. We long to sense Your marvelous light, to be called into Your redeeming presence, the warmth of Your power, the joy of Your love. God, today every single one of us brings something to this place. And we claim now that in the name of Jesus, the great physician, in the name of Jesus, our divine healer, in the name of Jesus, Savior and Lord, today You will, by Your Spirit, enter into our thinking process and renew us in mind and spirit. God, we want to honor you with all we say and do. And we ask you to empower us that we would live this week a life that really matters, lifting others and loving you. We join our voices together just now because we want to be united as a community of faith. We want to feel connected to one another as we pray that prayer that you, Lord Jesus, taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to prepare your morning offering. I can give witness to you that I see every day and every week lives being changed and encouraged because of the faithfulness of this congregation and the blessing of God working through this community of faith. Thank you for keeping us strong. Now, the fact of the matter is, from 2011 to 2012, we had to back up on some ministry because of the challenging financial circumstances. We had to back down just a little bit. But in the midst of that adjustment, God has been good to us through you. And you have kept us strong in ministry all year long. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the confidence to love others in Jesus' name. As the offering baskets come by, I invite you to join me in offering your heartbeats of love for the Lord in negotiable form. This morning, I'm resuming my autumn study, which I've entitled The Ultimate Mental Makeover. And this morning, I want to share this thought with you. Resist the temptation to awfulize. I want that to be your new favorite word. Resist the temptation to, let's say it together, awfulize your life and your circumstances. This morning, we are continuing this study based on the excellent book by Dr. H. Norman Wright, certified trauma therapist, certified marriage, family, and child therapist, as well as university and seminary professor. His excellent 2008 book is entitled, A Better Way to Think, Using Positive Thoughts to Change Your Life. I am amazed at the number of times in Scripture, from Old Testament and New Testament, God calls us to take responsibility for our thought process. God speaks to believers and says, the process of changing your thinking, being conformed to the mind of Christ, is an ongoing process. And in these weeks together, we're going to think about our thinking. And I hope I can encourage you to begin to be the new person in Christ that God has provided for you through the blood of the cross and think the thoughts of God. Think, set your mind on the ways of God and see how God uses your thinking to change your life. We begin this morning with a great passage from the Word of God from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 5 through 9. I invite you to open your Bibles, if you will. If you didn't bring a Bible today, we have some that are available. Just lift your hand and one of our ushers will bring you a Bible. But I invite you to hear these words from the heart of God through the pen of St. Paul. Paul wrote, Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But, get this, letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you, what a powerful transition for believers. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. I wonder how many of us today could do with a good dose of the peace that passes understanding. Anybody besides me? One, two, three. Oh, now you're being honest before God. Every one of us are longing for that elusive promise of the peace that passes understanding. And this morning, St. Paul gives us excellent instruction as to how we can enter in to life and peace. Here's a great thought from Dr. Wright's book. He says, while we can't always choose our thoughts, we do have freedom. Thank God for free will. We do have freedom to choose on which thoughts we dwell. We can't always control the thoughts that come into our mind, but you and I always have the freedom, always have the power to choose upon which thoughts we will dwell. Thoughts, they come and go. But from where? Do we always think them? Do we choose them? In most cases, we can't stop specific thoughts from coming into our minds. That's why you'll frequently hear a person say, it just hit me. Just came like a bolt out of the blue. We can't control the thoughts that come to the mind, but our task is to manage them once they arrive and take responsibility for the thoughts that we are processing. Therefore, once unwelcomed thoughts pop into our minds, you and I have the choice to either allow them to stay or to kick them out. Scientists aren't sure why thoughts come into our minds, but they have confirmed for us the difference between the brains of men and women. Did you know that men and women process things differently? I can't decide if I heard more women's voices or more men's voices saying amen. Research using brain scans show that a woman's brain is on all the time, constantly thinking, planning, preparing, processing day and night, but not so with a man's brain. Brain scans indicate that men have the capacity to turn them on when they need to use it and turn them off when he no longer is thinking about something purposely. Are you married to the kind of guy that just zones out, especially when you start the honey-do list? Just zones out, especially when you need him to do something? Research says we process things differently. But the bottom line for women who are thinking all the time and men who are on and off and off and off, then on and on, then off and off and off and off, is this: we need to kick out unwelcomed negative thoughts and set our minds, fix our minds, as Scripture tells us, on thoughts that are good, helpful, uplifting, and positive. We've already heard from St. Paul this morning in Romans chapter 8, but here again from Colossians chapter 3, another great instructive passage about our thinking process and how it affects our character, how it affects the people that we are becoming. And I like the amplified version of Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. St. Paul wrote, if then you have been raised with Christ, if you're a believer, you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich, eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, get this. And set your minds and keep them set. Keep setting and resetting, setting and resetting. Keep setting your minds on that which is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. St. Paul says we not only have the responsibility, but the capacity to control our thinking process, because our thinking process has such power to determine our character, our outlook, and our response to life. Now, researchers tell us that many of our thoughts are automatic. We don't intentionally think them, and it's a mystery. We are the sum total of our life's experience, of our memories, of our traumas. We're the sum total of memories that we have suppressed and haven't even yet begun to fully name and own. Our mind, this most powerful machine that God has ever created, is truly a mystery. We don't always intentionally think our thoughts. Speak first, think later. You understand the idea? We might not even want to think those thoughts. They can be both positive and negative, but they jump into our consciousness without planning or conscious prompting, and they all carry a specific message. Some researchers refer to these kind of thoughts as automatic thoughts, and they often include these demeaning words: must, should, and ought. Dr. Wright calls these torture words because they elevate our guilt and they lower our self-esteem. Automatic thoughts often awfulize, my new word, awfulize our lives and our circumstances. These thoughts expect the worst, see danger behind every bush, and create intense anxiety. And they're so powerful, they have the capacity to convince us that they are real, that they're reasonable. I wonder how many of us have allowed our joy to be stripped away, have allowed our confidence to be stripped away, because we are constantly under the tyranny of this demeaning question: what if? What if the market crashes? What if my wife or husband stops loving me? What if I get fired? What if my kids get into trouble? What if? What if? What if? Not based in the reality of fact, the objective reality of life, but in some subjective possibility that is always negative. We've learned and we've experienced that, unfortunately, we are wired, we are bent toward the negative. And too many of us allow these what-if, awfulizing questions to color our lives, our character, our outlook, our relationships with other people. I wonder, how's it working for you? How's it making you feel about yourself? How is it working in the relationship with your spouse or your children or your family? At work or school, among your friends? Now, we shouldn't be surprised by this, because the Bible teaches us that we human beings have struggled with our thought life ever since the fall of human beings. Ever since that moment, perfectly united in harmony with God. So wonderfully made. So perfect in every way that we didn't even need clothes. I mean, we were just excellent. Until that day, the evil one posed a what if question. that changed everything? What if we can't believe God? What if he didn't mean it when he said, if you eat from the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, you will die? What if? What if our foreparents, misusing their free will, awfulized their circumstances and chose not to believe God? And ever since, all of us who are a part of the human family have been struggling. Isn't it interesting then that the first place we turned away from God was in our thought process? The author of Genesis in Genesis 6:5 makes this challenging statement. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart were only evil all the time. Wow. The inclinations, the thoughts of the heart, corrupted, evil. It's no wonder we fall into the trap of what if. It's no wonder we find it so easy to awfulize the circumstances of our life. St. Paul puts it this way in our text for the day, Romans 8, verse 6. So, Paul says, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, control your mind leads to life and peace. A place of security and hope. Freedom from our natural bent to awfulize our circumstances. Dr. Wright suggests that becoming aware of our automatic thoughts, of our self-talk, of our toxic thinking, of the way we awfulize the circumstances around us is a necessary step on the journey toward change. So I want you to get real quiet with yourself right now and ask yourself this question. What do I tell myself frequently? What is the loop of the DVD that plays over and over again day and night when you're awake and you're asleep? The images and the ideas that flow through your brain. What are you telling yourself frequently? What's the CD that plays over and over again? The words spoken by others. The words spoken by yourself. The words spoken to yourself that you allow to play over and over and over again, which are defining who you are. Maybe you're always stressed or saying you're always late. We're always forgetting things, that you should be more organized, more disciplined, more patient. Maybe you're allowing these thoughts to run over and over in your mind. I'll never be forgiven. I'll never be good enough. I'll never find anyone to share my life with. I'll never forgive him. I'll never get over what she said to me. What are the images, the words that play over and over and over again? Where have you allowed yourself to awfulize your life and your circumstances? What's the number one most demeaning thing you say to yourself? Can you bring that to mind? Can you dare even whisper it to yourself? Maybe you're struggling to admit that, to be able to say that, but I'm betting someone that you're very close to already knows how you awfulize. They hear you saying the words. They see your response. I'm giving every person in the sound of my voice today in all three services the permission to speak to those they love most and say, don't awfulize. Let's practice saying that. Don't awfulize your life away. Becoming aware of these points, this negative self-talk, is the beginning of the journey. Dr. Wright pens, when people begin to identify their negative talk, they frequently say, I can't believe what I've been saying to myself all these years. So I just want to pause and ask this question. What have you been saying to yourself all these years? And how's it working for you? Now here's the good news. Any negative self-talk phrase can be reversed. It can be reframed as realistic and positive. Like a boat moving in the wrong direction, you can turn your self-talk around and begin moving your thoughts and your life in another direction. If you simply try to empty your mind of negative thoughts, but fail to replace them with positive thoughts, your negative thoughts will return, which is why over and over again in the Word of God, the Bible says not only to take responsibility for our thinking process, but to replace the power of our thinking process with the Spirit of the living God. Last year, many of you enjoyed reading the book and watching the movie, The Help. You remember that story of insight into the lives that way too many African Americans lived in the segregated South. It's an incredible book, an incredible movie with heartache and heartbreak and a good dose of humor all at the same time. It's one of my favorite movies, revealing the sinfulness of the human condition and the power to overcome. One of my very favorite characters is the central figure, who is the housekeeper, who begins sharing her real feelings about living in segregated Jackson, Mississippi. And her name is Abilene. She's in charge of taking care of a little girl whom she observes is being mistreated over and over again by her mom. Here's the fear, that this little girl won't be pretty and will turn out to be chubby. In a society, in a world where far too often, let's admit it, we are judged and we do judge based on the outward appearance. Many scenes are shown focusing on this little girl. And it goes something like this. Every day, Abilene tells the young child something good about herself. Several scenes in the movie and the book bring us to Abilene, holding the baby girl named Mae Mobley and saying, you a smart girl. You a kind girl, Mae Mobley. You hear me? And in these words that I hope you've planted in your heart, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. I can say it, but nothing as good as Abilene herself.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind. You is important.
Oh,
that's so good.
Can we try that one more time? I'd like you to hear it at full volume the whole way through.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. You is smart.
You is kind.
You is important. Oh, that's so good.
Now, if you could begin to imagine a woman who has been deprived in so many ways of her own sense of dignity and value and worth, being used as a believer, we learn in the movie, to speak hope into the life of that little girl, and you see on her face the power of hearing and repeating this objective truth. You, let's say it together. You is kind. You is smart. You is important. Imagine how much more your Heavenly Father can do in your life if you will arrest finally and forever your tendency to awfulize your life and circumstances and rather internalize the objective truth of God. I've listed for you some lines entitled, Who Am I in Christ? And I've worked to draw positive affirmations from the Word of God. Not subjective truth, but the objective truth of the Word of God. And I've categorized them in three categories. I am accepted. I am secure. I am significant. Now, maybe it's not quite as poetic as Abilene in The Help, but I think the truth is the same. Would you open your mind and heart to live into what God says and set your mind, set your thinking, fix your thoughts on what God says about you and your circumstances, notwithstanding the what-if questions, notwithstanding the difficulties that you are experiencing, not giving in to awfulizing your life away. This is certainly not a comprehensive list, but every time a negative or toxic thought comes into your mind, get at the root of what that toxic thought is trying to steal from you. Your hope, your peace, your self-image, the desire to step out and do something great in the name of Christ, the ability to let go of that which is holding you by the neck. And instead of focusing in on what you keep repeating to yourself, speak these first person affirmations from the Word of God. For instance, I'm God's child. When you wonder if anybody will ever love you or want to be with you. When you wonder if your life has meaning or purpose, I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. When guilt or unforgiveness is working on you, I am free from condemnation. I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins by the blood of the cross. When you wonder if you'll ever be good enough to accomplish anything great, affirm, I am complete in Christ already. I have been chosen by God and adopted as His son or daughter. I have direct access to the throne of God's grace through Jesus Christ. When one of those what-ifs comes up and you're worried about your life or that of your spouse, your child, those around you, to be able to say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, push against it, but of power and love and of a sound mind. When you're facing temptation, and if that temptation is found out, there could be big problems. To be able to look into the eye of that temptation, say, I am born of God. And I refuse to allow the evil one to touch me. Now, as you begin to reprogram and retrain your thinking, let me be clear, it's not going to happen overnight. That's why we need each other. It took you a long time to dig into that hole of negativity. It took you a long time to become an expert in awfulizing yourself. In fact, it wasn't until this morning that you realized what you were doing. It's going to take a long time, but with God's help, the Spirit of the living God, and brothers and sisters together, you can reprogram your thinking from subjective feelings to the objective truth of the Word of God. And I hope you will use this list as a beginning place every time you're challenged to awfulize. I love to personalize Scripture because it helps make it more powerful in my life. And this morning, the Scripture that I'm thinking most about is from our text, Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, where St. Paul boldly says, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you." I'd like to challenge you to personalize it this way. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature, a declaration of objective truth. I am controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit of God is living in me. But I am controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit of God is living in me. I purposely didn't write it out, and I purposely didn't put it on the screen because I'd like to purposely encourage you to memorize that with me this morning. Can we try to say this together? Watch me say it. And you follow along with me. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature. But I am controlled by the Spirit. But I am controlled by the Spirit. But I am controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit of God is living in me. Because the Spirit of God is living in me. I am no longer controlled by my sinful nature, but I am controlled by the Spirit because the Spirit of God is living in me. Is He living in you? It's the most important question I can ever ask you, the most important conversation we can ever have, the most important transaction of your entire life. Not just knowing about God, but knowing Him personally through Jesus in the depths of your heart, and knowing Him personally through the Holy Spirit as He conforms your mind to the mind of Christ. What are you saying to yourself? What could you be saying to yourself? I invite you back next week for part 3 as we continue to think about our thinking. Amen. As we conclude our service this morning, I invite you to find again the connection card, and on the backside, opportunity for you to claim the truth of God for yourself from Romans 8, verse 6. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Opportunity for you to indicate a desire to begin a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, to be assured of the forgiveness of your sin, to be baptized and become a part of His living body, the church. The bottom of the card is an opportunity for you to share your heart with me and how honored I am to pray with and for you on Tuesdays. Maybe today you would say, I don't want to awfulize anymore. And I want to confess where I find myself awfulizing. And maybe write down the statement or the concept that you allow to go over and over and over and over in your mind from which you want to be set free. As the music plays, I invite you to complete your connection card. Fold it over, if you will, and leave it with an usher as you depart from the worship center. And I will delight in sharing my heart with you this week. And you shine the light when He shines the light on you. So receive this benediction. And now, my friends, as always, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you, His healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. I mark you now as God's chosen children in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and good morning.